Our first scripture text today comes to us from the book of Romans, chapter 5 and verses 6 through 8. May we hear God's word together. For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for a good man, one would dare even to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Our second reading is from Mark's Gospel, chapter 8, and verses 34 through 38. Let us again hear the word of the Lord. And he summoned the multitude with his disciples and said to them, "If anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life shall lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's shall save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of him when he comes in the glory of his Father and with the holy angels." Here ends the reading of God's holy word. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The longest running game show in TV history is called The Price is Right. It actually began in 1956. It was revamped and first aired on CBS on September the 4th, 1972. There have been over 9,000 episodes in over 51 seasons. For over 50 years, people have proven to be very interested in the price of things. Did you know that the average cost of a car in this country right now is about $49,388? The Census Bureau tells us that the median sales price of new homes is approximately $392,000. According to the College Board, the average cost of tuition and fees right now is $39,273 at private colleges, $22,953 for out-of-state students at public schools, and $10,423 for in-state residents at public colleges. Gold is presently selling for almost $2,000 an ounce. Did you know that the 2020 U.S. median household income was about $67,500. And the entire gross national income of the United States in 2021 was about $23.5 trillion. China's income was $16.7 trillion, and India's was $3 trillion. Russia's was $1.69 trillion. Our world is a very expensive place to live, and life isn't cheap. And as anyone in business will tell you, that many of the motives in business are based simply upon profit. Now, usually folks' ears will perk up when you talk about money. People will consider all manner of money management and principles and business opportunities because of their potential for monetary benefits. So that if you talk to folks about income and taxes, or the economic situation in their lives, they'll usually listen. Yet if you talk to people about the value of their souls or their salvation, many, many people will be disinterested. Very few people will want to go any further. Talking to people about Jesus Christ and the difference he makes in their lives doesn't usually grab and hold everyone's attention. Unfortunately, for money-focused people and possession-focused people, the church simply feels like another way to lose their money. And talking about giving up your will for the will of God doesn't usually engender warm fuzzies. And yet, Jesus understood this human desire for profit and the desire for possessions, and he understood it very well. You can hear it latent in the question he posed 2,000 years ago. that is just as relevant today as it was when it was first asked. He wanted to know the multitudes and his closest disciples. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? And what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Jesus asks, how valuable is your soul? And more importantly, how valuable is life eternal? How much for the human soul? Please pray with me. Gracious Lord, prepare us through your Holy Spirit to teach us the words of Christ, that we might understand how valuable our souls are to you, and how much more valuable they are than the world. In Jesus we pray. Amen. People don't realize it, but our world generally practices a value regarding human life. The value of a single soul in the United States can be inferred from some of the following estimates. We're worth about a dollar in basic chemical value, or we're worth $50,000 per year of quality of life, which is the international standard most private and government-run health insurance plans worldwide use to determine whether to cover a new medical procedure. We're worth about $129,000 per year of quality of life based on the analysis of kidney dialysis procedures by colleagues at Stanford Graduate School of Business. Or maybe we are worth much more money considering the high cost of human serums and donated organs. Maybe someday we'll be worth millions of dollars. But I'm not sure that will ever be a good thing. Jesus asks something even more fundamental than these questions. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? In other words, the implication is that the human soul is worth more than all the world's goods. Your soul and mine is so valuable to God that he sent his only son to die for us, to give himself for us. And I'm so glad that my Lord values my life more than the insurance companies. As Paul wrote, for while we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for a good man someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Or as the anonymously written question goes, I asked Jesus, how much do you love me? And Jesus said, this much. And he stretched out his arms and died for me. You see, Jesus paid such a high price on the cross for our salvation because to him, not only does he love us, but we're well worth it. For such a high price as death upon a cruel cross, God must want us to value our lives more than we do. Our lives must be worth more than any amount of money or possessions. They must be priceless in his kingdom and without cash value. That makes sense that life should always be worth more than inanimate objects. But maybe we have already accepted the lies of our culture, that things other than a relationship with God bring us joy and contentment and happiness. Perhaps we've already devalued our lives to the point that they are meaningless unless we have the resources that we want, or the prestige, or the power we need. We can become consumed by the things of the world. We can become so value conscious that we become completely worldly minded. C. Stacy Woods calls it a self-indulgent attitude toward life, the material universe, and all life's relationships. J. Henry Jowett says, worldliness is a spirit. It is a life without high callings, a life devoid of lofty ideals. It is gazing always horizontally and never vertically. In other words, the value we place on things may be taking priority over everything and everyone else in our lives, and even over life itself. And yet the answer to worldliness is simple. It's to surrender the price of our self-serving lives to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, to clear all our decisions with Him so that our normal desires for position and possessions and pleasure will be satisfied more fully in God. The depth of our devotion to Christ will determine the degree of our worldliness or spiritualness. And thus the essence of a worldly person is, as someone has said, he knows the price of everything, but the value of nothing. Life is very valuable, but the indelible human soul is worth even more. It is precious to God. Now, generally speaking, we usually don't think about losing our souls to anything. And we will be satisfied, we think, when we have everything that we want and our lives are under our control. We have statistics about how much longer we will live if we eat certain foods, or we live at certain locations, or we take certain medications and we exercise. And we also know that in the meantime, there's a lot of life to live. There is so much to see. There is so much to acquire. There are so many ways to increase the quality of our life right now before it's too late. And after all, if all other things being equal, most people believe, or at least they act like they believe, that the one with the most toys in the end wins, or at least the one who has his or her dreams fulfilled before they die wins. So what is it that we usually deem as most important for us? Is it our possessions, our money, our health perhaps? Or have we ever thought about our souls? In critical life and death situations, what would people give to extend their lives? What price would we pay to live many years longer? So what would we give, if we could, to live forever then, eternal in heaven? If we believed that was a possibility, what if my soul had been acquired by the world, or by someone as conniving as Satan, or as profit-hungry as the world economic system and many businesses, and I was actually headed to destruction? What would I do? Would I just smile until the last as I drop over the edge? What would we give to have all the effects of this fallen world and evil and sin pulled away, done away with in our lives? What would we give in exchange for complete freedom? Do you think that any material possession could buy your soul back? Do you think your position on the ladder of success would have enough influence to procure your soul's release from judgment? What could you possibly give which would redeem your soul, the human soul, the very essence of who you are? To live forever in paradise with God. Personally, I would give all my earthly possessions, all my plans away, all my will to God, all that I have. And yet that wouldn't be enough to actually buy it. Why? Because God has revealed to me the great value of my soul, and I believe Him. Perhaps this is why Jesus summoned the multitudes with His disciples and said to them, "If anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Perhaps the great Christian paradox that this is only makes sense when we recognize the truth about the immense value of our souls. They are worth more than life on earth. You see, our Lord values our souls immensely, much more so than our world or nations or insurance companies or even our loved ones or friends. But Jesus also asks us to realize that because our souls are so immensely valuable, that we are not to make light of them or to give them over to cheap and vulgar things of this world. You and I are too important to God to give our lives under complete subjection to material possessions. I don't know about you, but I want my life to count for more than just all the things I've accumulated. We are to give our lives back to God, our Creator, who made us, no matter the worldly cost. You can see that happening over and over again in the New Testament. Not surprisingly, the scriptures indicate that Jesus did not gain too many followers as a result of his very difficult prescription for Christian discipleship. Carrying your own cross is a very, very hard concept to accept. Obedience even unto death was not one of his more popular sayings among the crowds. It's much easier to hear about God's love and his mercy and forgiveness than to be lectured about the high, high cost of discipleship. And yet here, in this beautiful simplicity, is this heavy price of following Jesus. Deny yourself. What does it mean to deny yourself? It means that your plans become God's plans. Your goals must become His. It means that if you want to do something, do it only if God desires for you to do it. You want to be wherever He intends for you to be. You want to do and serve however He demands. You want to go whenever He calls. Someone may then ask, well, just how far then must we be willing to deny ourselves? Jesus said it must be all the way to the cross. And the people of Jesus' day knew exactly what that meant. While we might not give that statement all the depth that it really deserves, it meant to the people of Jesus' day that if they wanted to be his disciples, they must be willing to deny themselves to the point of total self-sacrifice. German theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was executed by the Nazis because of his testimony, made this statement. When Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. This wasn't just some theological treatise. It turned out to be prophetic for him in his very life. To follow Jesus, no matter what the cost, that is the way of the cross. And in the 2,000 years since the writing of this verse, I don't know how we could possibly lessen its rigor and severity. In fact, if someone is trying to save himself or herself, that person will lose everything: his life, his happiness, his relationship with God, and his or her very soul, the highest valuable commodity he or she owns. Because the great paradox of Christianity is that anyone who loses his or her life in this life for the sake of Christ and the gospel, then he or she will find life, a life untold in abundance and eternal joy. And that person will also be granted eternal life. Without an eternal soul, that makes no sense. Without the value of the eternal soul of a person, that makes no sense. So give your heart and soul to Jesus, because there's no one else who cares for your soul like he does. And realize that even if you do give your whole life to Christ, that is really not enough to purchase the valuable soul that you have. Therefore, he is the only one who has made provision high enough for your soul's purchase. I pray that you have discovered that the glorious life we have in Christ is worth far more than anything else in this world. How much does it cost? The buyer asked. It's too dear, too costly, says the seller. But how much? Said the buyer. Well, it's very expensive, said the seller. Do you think I could buy it? Asked the buyer. Oh, well, of course, anybody can, said the seller. But you say it's too expensive. How can I buy what I cannot afford? Well, it costs you everything you have, but no more, no less, and anybody can buy it. All right, I'll take it. I'll take it, said the buyer. What do you have? Asked the seller. I have all that I own, and my life and my soul, said the buyer. The price is right, responded the seller. Do you believe in the high price that Jesus paid for us? How valuable is your eternal soul? Are you willing to pay the price of Christian discipleship in following Jesus in this life, to give up your will for his? Friends, our souls must be worth all that we have because Jesus gave all that he had for our souls. For whoever wishes to save his life shall lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's shall save it. For what shall it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? To God be all the praise and glory. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, thank you for showing us the value of our souls, that you paid the highest price that we might be saved. Lord, may we give up our wills to follow you. May we sacrifice those plans and dreams and hopes for your will, which is much superior to ours. And Lord, we pray that we would find life as we give up our lives and our wills to you. Lord, it is a great Christian paradox, and yet it is true. All those who follow you must carry their own cross. In Jesus we pray. Amen.